All right, here we go. What's up, Dutch Nation? Today on the podcast, we got former Colorado Springs operator and brand new business coach, Mason Smith. So if you know Mason, he's a high-energy dude, a little bit of a fast talker. So Brant likes to tell the story of how we first met him, kind of bust his chops a little bit, but it's all in love. The guy's got a huge heart. We're super excited to have him back at HQ as part of the coaching team. So he talks a little bit about his past, getting hired in Medford and working GP and starting up a successful little side hustle. And if there's something that you want, put more time in than what's expected of you to get it. Good gold nuggets in here, as well as a few chuckles. We were kind of having some fun with them, so hopefully you guys are entertained by it. Sit back, relax, enjoy the Mason Smith podcast.
Hey, question.
Is this live?
What's up with the holy pants?
Yeah.
Is this a statement?
I got to show off my tattoos and my legs.
You have leg tattoos. How many? Yeah.
I have two leg tattoos.
What? Oh, what?
Funny story about this tattoo. Okay. Now, my last day in Colorado, there was 8 people had tattoo appointments, and so I went with them. And I was like, what are you guys getting? Because I'll get it too. And they were getting MSLLC. You know what that stands for?
Mason Smith Limited Liability Corporation?
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, because that's what my Dutch Rose LLC was called before I was transitioned to operator.
Shut your mouth.
They all, including me, got my LLC name tattooed on my ankle.
Wow, that's some Nazi stuff.
Bro. That is so Nazi, bro. That is whacked out.
That is the cult life.
Mason Manson.
I got some followers.
This might hurt your feelings, but yeah. I will never in my life get that tattooed anywhere on my body.
The LLC doesn't exist anymore.
No, exactly.
Well, let's start up a new business, bro. Let's get
it
back.
What are we doing? Let's go get a tattoo after this, and we'll call it the RCPC.
Got it. RCPC.
Red Couch Podcast.
I mean, even though podcast is one word, it's still fun. It's fun. It's fun.
Shane would get it.
Okay, let's do this.
All right, speaking of podcasts, welcome, everybody. Dutch Bros Podcast, Mark Berry, Shane Tappan.
Hey, babies.
Brant Boersma.
I'm here. Special day.
And brand new business coach, Mason Smith.
The BC. Hey, welcome back,
what's up,
Mason.
Guys?
Actually, let's use this time to clear the air yet again.
Yeah.
Because Cody King is now taking the shops that Mason was overseeing. So that whole Longmont thing, that was all lies.
Upgrade. They got a younger, better, and more handsome, hey, more athletic.
He's older.
He's not.
He is a year older.
Well, he doesn't look it.
I got gray hair.
Your
right?
child has
you do
aged
have gray
you,
hair.
Mason.
You know what? You're married with a child, so you are kind of technically older. So you're back here. You're back home. I mean, you grew up in Southern Oregon.
Born and raised.
How long were you in Colorado for?
I lived there for 2 years, but was only open for a year.
Mark and I listened to your last podcast.
The Line of the Creed.
Yeah, it was a month before you and Shelby went on your trip.
Mm-hmm.
Before you left downtown.
Yeah.
A lot has changed since then.
Yes. Yeah.
So why don't you
tell us about
it? Yeah, why don't you pick us up, you know.
Let's go back in time.
Let's go back further. When did you even get hired? What kind of coffee did you drink, and what do you drink now?
He doesn't drink coffee now.
I made my own frost. I got hired in 2012. I made frost with cream de menthe and chocolate milk. And that's all I would drink. Like, I hated coffee.
For 5 years straight, every day.
Oh, gosh. And then I worked Medford and Grants Pass, Oregon at the same time for both franchises.
I got to interject. Let me tell you guys something.
Punch it.
This is when I was a coach, right? Yeah. There was the original coaches, which was like Dave Morris, Levi Harris,
Kimsey.
Myself, and Josh Kimsey. The Lion's Den, I think we called it, our office.
Oh, yeah.
There was like mounts from Kimsey's like kills or the ones that he'd buy on Amazon. Like, it's like his little buck mounts. I was like,
didn't even kill
like what's
that.
This tag made in China on there for?
Jackalope.
So we're in there, and like, I remember one day I come in, and there's this young dude in there, and he's like talking to Levi, and he's like, and I'm like, well, so I just walk out because I'm like, oh, that was way too fast and way too heavy. I don't even know what's going on in there. Okay, next day, guess what? Freaking Speedy McGee is back in there talking to Levi. There's something going on. I don't know, whatever.
Some deadbeat from Medford.
Now, Levi lives in Medford. I don't know if he saw you in the stands a lot or what, but he's like, he's just coming in and just wants advice and wants to talk. It's like, okay, cool, cool. Literally, next day, he's in there. No Levi, no nobody. He's just sitting there like waiting like a little puppy. Like his eyes are like, I walk in, he's like, hey, man. I was like,
it's like Donnie from the Wild Thornberry.
Yeah. It was. It was scary, man. It was like, what is this guy doing? shotgunned a rebel. Then everything kind of sped up in my brain so I could slowly understand him a little bit. So, yeah, Mason literally would bomb over to Grants Pass all the time, dude.
We're not advising this. 4 days out of the week, I would finish my shift and then just go sit at headquarters waiting for someone
Well,
to talk
I think
to
he
me.
Also got drifty. He's like, wait, they bring lunch out here?
You know that was
and
it.
So he started eating that lunch.
We've all gone down that road.
Shane
used to do it. He'd come out here and freaking get crushed at butter every day.
Anyway, I want to like first say that I hired Shane initially.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're the one to blame.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Do you just hire him and then ditch him? You don't teach him anything?
Yeah, I just let him
so
lose.
He hired me, and then like within like 6 months, he was gone.
Well, last we heard from Mason, he was talking about thinking the best, working for the best, expecting only the best.
Yeah.
In Colorado Springs. So what made you just give it all away, bro?
It wasn't the best, great opening. Hey, first, I did apply to franchise like when I was like a year and a half in.
What is wrong with this guy?
Yeah, I did talk about expecting the best, thinking of the best. And so going to Colorado, they actually didn't open up very busy. And it was hard to think the best and to always keep positive. Because I always thought like open a stand in a cool area and instantly it's going to be busy.
Sure.
You know, like what everyone hopes and expects for. And they weren't. When we opened, we would finish our shift and then I would take like a stack of free cards, buy one, get ones, flyers, and just go to every surrounding business and school and put them everywhere. Like I could think of to like stimulate more business. I remember I would get in my car and just drive around the stand to like coax other cars to come in. Because like there'd be like 30 minutes,
we have no cars. It really does work.
Yeah, it's a real technique.
You're like, oh, there's a car in line at that place. I should check
like,
it out.
Wow, they're just rolling in. But we kept our head down and I like to pridefully say it's number 3 in the company right now. Opened up, I think, number like 210 or something.
Garden of the Gods.
The Awesome Bluffs location. Awesome my Bluffs. Second store we opened up. The best crew ever. The hardest thing, like I didn't really give the city a chance to like grow on me because I kept my head down and worked so much. A lot of people ask me, do you miss Colorado Springs? I say, I don't miss Colorado Springs. I miss the people. Yeah, I have 100 baristas over there and some of the best people I've ever met. But, I mean, with social media and communication as it is, like, we're going to be friends forever.
Tattoos now.
We all have matching tattoos.
Hey, you know, one of the things, though, I want to point out, not about tattoos, but about Mason here. Yep. At a young age, he didn't just work in the stands and drive over to Grants Pass every day. One of the things that he did is he would buy and sell cars on the side. He didn't just make money. He saved a ton of money and kind of pursue his passion and funding it through a hobby, really, in a weird way. You took a hobby to support your passion, which was really cool. How many cars did you flip? Are we allowed to talk about that? The government's not going to get you.
It already kind of was talked about on the last podcast. Yeah. Are you selling more?
Everything's always for sale with Mason. Oh. You have no sentimental attachments to anything other than your wife and
child. Wife and baby. Like, I would sell my tattoos if they weren't connected to my body. Leaving Colorado, I own 2 houses. I own 2 trucks, 3 motorcycles, and a car. In 1 month, I sold 2 houses. And my 2 trucks, one of my motorcycles.
Wow. Why did you need 3 motorcycles?
Oh, I was flipping them.
Like jumps?
If I could flip it, I wouldn't work. No, I'm just kidding. So I was trying to list all the cars I've had on my road trip back, and we got it to like 93, but there's more. I just can't remember them, but I've owned 93 vehicles. And everyone is always like, how can I make money flipping stuff? Well, what do you like? Find something you really like. And that you want to own, it could be anything. Like, let's say cars, or let's say comic books, whatever. Mm-hmm. Learn a lot about it. Research the market, and you'll know when there's a good deal. Buy it at a good deal, and then just wait to sell it at a higher price. And if you truly like love it and like what you're buying, like if you're stuck with it for a while, like it's totally fine. But that's one of my biggest things is I only buy if it's a great deal, and there's no sentimental connection. Flipping the cars put me in an awesome financial spot to like move to Colorado and never put my family in like a rough financial situation off of a hobby, essentially.
What's the longest you've ever owned a vehicle?
Like 9 months, 10 months, maybe less.
Hey, you know, I mean, we don't want our material possessions to own us. So kudos to you, Mason.
Yeah, great.
And did we kind of identify the route? Was the main reason leaving what is now a really profitable stand that's really busy, was it more just a desire to get back to Oregon where you're from? We didn't really hammer that, or did we?
No, we didn't. We didn't touch on that. I was offered the coaching spot before I left to go franchise. I really wanted to go do it and learn it and trial and error out there and like earn respect of others to go and actually do it and prove myself, basically. Prove myself to myself. So I went out there expecting to be out there for 5 to 10 years. And then right the same day that my wife and I bought our second house, I got a call from Brian Maxwell with this position. I said no because of the situation we were in with buying a second house. After like further discussion with my wife and whatnot and our families, yeah, the biggest thing is like, yeah, we love the Valley, the big picture. I love Dutch Bros as a whole community, and being an operator was awesome. And yeah, very lucrative, a killer lifestyle, get to be around young people all day. Like something I'd recommend to anyone if you're on the chase for it. It is amazing. But now stepping in this new role, the potential of the elevation of where it's at in the company, I'm excited to help on like the highest level I can. And at the same time, like knowing my wife and daughter are extremely happy with their family and friends where we were born and raised. It's a huge thing. Family's huge.
And now he's taking Vargas' spot, right? Ryan Vargas?
Yeah, Vargas went on to pursue his passion of basketball. He's coaching and training kids up in Albany at Clutch Time Hoops. He's got that facility that he opened up there. It's pretty rad looking. I'm excited. I want to go up there and check it out. And I'm just stoked for him because he's following his heart in the same vein. That's exactly what Mason's doing too, which is really cool. One shot at life. You know what I mean? Like, why aren't you doing the things that you are passionate about and pursuing? The world tries to tell you what you should have and what you should do and how you should go. And so it kind of feeds into you, especially with social media now. Everybody's just putting up the highlight reel. They're only showing you the good stuff all the time or talking about it. And it's so easy to compare to that and be like, oh, well, I need to do this or I need to do that. Well, what do you want to do? Not what you think everybody else thinks you should do. You know?
I know at one point in your life, seemingly Colorado Springs, that's the pinnacle.
Totally.
But, you know, priorities change and you start to think like, well, I still want to be in the company, but it might be kind of cool to be closer to the folks and the in-laws.
It's nice to have family around. Your little one is growing up fast, bro.
It's wild. You don't realize how fast time goes by until you see something grow that fast with time. A big thing you just said hit me. The pinnacle was franchising. And Caleb Berkey told me this the other day. I talked to him about it for a long time. In life, you have goals, like stepping stones that lead to a horizon, which is like your dream. You know, and as you conquer goals, a lot of people will look up and look and they'll see the horizon got farther away. So let's say anyone sets a horizon at franchising or opening a business or getting a college degree, whatever it is, you reach goals and you look up and you realize your horizon keeps getting farther away. For my horizon was franchising and I never realized it. I was always wanting more. Caleb's like, have you ever turned around and see what you've accomplished? Like a lot of times people get so caught up with trying to elevate so fast and trying to get promoted so quickly that they don't take time to turn around and like realize where they were and where they've been and like to really feel good about where they're at. I never did that. I always wanted the next thing. I always wanted the next busiest location or just the next location. And never once did I turn around and be like, wow, super blessed to be exactly where I'm at, you know? But I can tell you one thing, that goal, the horizon always changes no matter where you're at.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's always getting pushed out further.
It's pretty cool to see all the stuff that you've gone through.
Yeah.
If you're not paying attention, then, I mean, time just moved. I'm in such a weird place now because like my oldest is in high school, man. That's so weird, but very cool, you know. But I mean, the conversation is so different than when she was 3 or when she was 10. Like we have 3 more summers with her, you know, after freshman year, after sophomore year, after, you know, junior year, and then last summer is college
and RCC.
You know, well, unless she,
maybe,
I mean,
she might,
hey, she might not even want to go. Who knows?
Yeah, Ospreys.
And if you're always chasing the horizon, you can't enjoy where you're at. Even if you're in a valley, it's beautiful. I think the whole point of all that stuff is take the time to think of where you're at and what you have. When you do all that, it really allows you to set a more intentional horizon. You were the manager at Downtown for quite a while. For you. I mean, you're moving fast, bro. Do you have any plans of actually working a shift back there?
Oh, no, I want to. I go there every morning for coffee, and I still like know all the customers and their drinks. I'm like, they're still getting the same thing as they did like 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago.
One thing I've noticed, and I've experienced it, you're a big relationship guy, but not only just like with your customers, but especially your crew. What does building relationships mean to you?
I used to want to franchise a long time ago for like financial reasons. And then as I reevaluated like 3.5, 4 years in why I wanted to, I realized like 100% of my friends, the ones I'd have forever, were like Dutch Bros. Like it had bred such a community in my life, like of solid, like-minded people, like college-age kids. I love hanging out with them and like trying to be like a good role model and example of what like a godly, loving man is with his family. And I just love that aspect, the community and the culture of it. I want baristas and employees to leave Dutch Bros after working with and for me and be like, that was the coolest boss I've ever had. But also, like, that's going to be one of my lifelong friends. And hopefully they take that onto their next job and, like, can breed that same community, if not, like, a portion of it at their next job. Yeah. Hopefully they hang out with their coworkers. Because, like, friendship makes work a lot more fun.
So now, Lance just accompanied you to a coaching mission, correct? Like, you got your first little taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you can divulge, or is it too top secret?
No, no, no. It's awesome. Going to areas that have been open for 20 plus years where franchisees have put like blood, sweat, tears, everything they have on the line to like make Dutch Bros a success in the area. And just trying to like help in any aspect that we can. Yeah. It's like, hey, you're killing it. Here's a view from another angle. Like not to change anything they're doing, but just to help them like win at the highest level. It's tough because they've been doing it for so long and they're all so smart. It's hard for me to think that I could add any value to these guys, but I'm excited to kill it with them and do life. It's a long-term play too. I was telling Shelby, I never want to move again. You know, like I plan to be in this role or at least in a similar role for like the next 20 plus years. So operating with franchisees every day, earning respect and trust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just developing positive habits with them.
What regions are you coaching at?
So I got from the California-Oregon border all the way up to my most northern location is like Albany, okay. Salem, Albany. And then I go over the coast. So Brookings, Crescent City. I don't do Eastern Oregon. Yeah. Okay. That's the Boise area. And then Portland is Ranica. So everything in Oregon except for Portland and Eastern Oregon.
Yeah. So a lot of I-5 as it goes north.
Basically. Oh, a lot of driving. Yeah.
I think you're right in the right spot.
Totally.
As far as geographically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are some habits that you've developed over the last couple years that have helped you to kind of stay focused and stay motivated?
Man, that's a good question. One of the things I'm not super good at is I'm not a schedule-oriented person. I could be much better than that. I think a big one is like family time. Like I cut out a few hours in the evening to like not just like unplug, but like ask deep questions with my wife, hang out with her. And like I love my daughter time too. She's like 1.5. And I realize like it only is going faster and faster in her life. And so having time with her is huge. But I think developing habits is one of my weaknesses and I could be more effective at for sure. In that same note, I'm a workaholic and I've always been, and that could be my greatest strength. It could also be my greatest weakness.
How do you relax?
Chris Stewart asked me, he's like, what do you do for fun? And I was like, want an honest answer on that one? I think work is super fun. So working to me is not super stressful. So it's not something I necessarily need to relax from.
Are you still made Oregon?
I'm still made Oregon.
You still doing photography?
Yeah. That was one of my big things is getting out, like getting on my dual sport and riding up in the mountains, doing photography and whatnot.
Made Oregon, that reference is
Can you follow that, everyone?
Instagram handle.
What's next for you, Mason?
I have weekends now, so more family vacations and...
You're going to have another kid?
I don't know.
The classic question, right?
Yeah, it's Mason, tough.
How many times do you think we've been asked
Yeah,
that the
you get asked that a bunch too, huh?
It's like every day.
They no longer ask me that, guys, so
are you, aren't you like 50, though? Are you?
Technically, I cannot have children anymore. Gosh. And if that does happen where I have a kid, I'm so pissed. The child I'll be like stoked on.
It'd be a phenomenon, like a miracle.
I'm just going to say, Mason, I do appreciate, but I think that human life is a miracle itself, so yeah, I agree with that there. It is a miracle.
No one is arguing with you.
Well, dude, what are you going to do on those weekends, bro?
Oh, start flipping cars?
Yeah, back at it. I called you once recently about like, hey, should I buy this car? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
I like
funny because you were we talked about it. He was still on my phone as Mason Medford cover.
You're still on my phone as Mark Motown,
exactly.
Manager.
Yeah,
Mason Medford cover.
He covered a Christmas party. The first time, who's it? This guy Mason from Medford. He kills it. I'm like, all right, yeah, bring him on.
Mark was the coolest manager ever back then.
No, I was not.
He was
in the same boat. We were just too nice.
We were way too nice.
Yeah, people would be like, "Oh, suck!" Like, you
I should fire
them.
That guy.
Well,
but
dude,
I can't.
Can I just write him up? Well, yeah, write him up. Do I have to write him up though? Can I just talk to him?
Brad, I've heard some mean stories of you, like. When someone overordered a couple bags of sugar.
This is the one thing. I feel really mad. I feel really good about the fact that you don't need 40 bags of sugar.
40.
A 40 lot of bags of sugar. I'm pretty competent.
Arizona does.
Fort.
They make a lot
and
of
And so that's where I start to question. I'm like, maybe this person is selling sugar on the side. You know, when it comes to common sense, I it's really hard for me to tolerate people that don't have it.
I hope this person that we're talking about is listening.
Well... I guarantee you they have a lot more common sense now than they did.
Probably.
Hey, you know what we didn't talk about? Huh. U of O games.
Oh, man.
Let's go, Ducks.
I've done a lot of weird stuff for Dutch. Yeah. Somebody asked me like what I've done for Dutch Bros. I'm like, so started as a barista, then assistant manager, then I did Grand Spess events, HQ events, and then I did U of O, OSU. U of O games were awesome.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah. Now we only have one location. We had seven.
Yeah.
Hey, the Ducks might be good this year.
Wow, I know. They look pretty good.
They look great.
I mean, let's see when they play Stanford. But
the Beavers also scored 75 points last game.
Against RCC.
Bob, that was Shane, not Mason.
Bob Langwin? Yeah, he knows.
He knows.
He's lived in Corvallis long enough. He knows. So does Brennan Gilbert. Alex Johnson, Bryce Schneider.
You know what else they know, though? They know yet another baseball national title.
So yeah,
they got that at least. Nah. They need to find those dual sport athletes. Like Jameis Winston played baseball.
Dual sport?
How is it that baseball still makes money? I'm lost.
TV dollars. It's all basketball? Television. Because
it's just so long. That imagine just how those many TV contracts we can are jam massive. In one game.
Exactly.
Of baseball.
Yeah. It's like, but you're
trying to make
TV
it even
on.
Slower. Oh, you said when you saw the Diamondbacks, when they presented the Dutch the Bros check, donation check, that you really enjoyed that game.
It was fun.
When you watch it live, it's great. Live. Hey, Mason, thanks for coming back, man.
Yeah, bro. Before you go, though, Shane has one last question.
Here we go. We'd like to end this the same way as always. If you could give one piece of advice to any barista or just any of our listeners, whether they want to pursue Dutch Bros or not, what would it be?
My main piece of advice, everyone asks me, like, what's the one thing that I can do that will, like, guarantee me to succeed or help me to succeed? Time is the one thing you can't get more of. It's the most valuable thing. If you really want something, like, spend more time than what is expected. It'll be noticed because people notice extra time because it's valuable, you know? So don't cut it short. Don't obsess over it, but spend more time than what is expected of it.
I like it.
I like it.
Yeah.
And I like your hair.
You do you?
Are you going to grow it out again?
I do recall, though, there was a wager that was made. In this wager, it was, I'm going to run an X amount, and if you don't run that amount, you have to buzz your head.
Oh.
Someone in the room failed to run that amount, but also failed
to buzz their head.
I had to sell two houses, two trucks,
transfer
a franchise. Shelby, your wife... was a hairdresser. Right. So let's be honest. She's like, if you buzz your head, I'll kill you.
It's not the buzzing the head. It's the running. Hey, you want to go again this month? Starting right now, 20 miles into the month. Starting
20 miles at the end of this month.
Yeah, wait, 20 days.
Is Brant's going to smoke too? You.
Yeah.
20 miles? And what do we have to bet on?
You shaved heads. 4 days.
Shaved heads?
Yeah, if we both do it, then no one shaves their head. But
okay.
That's a mile a day. I feel pretty about 20. What do you want? 25?
I was going to say 30.
30? You're on.
Okay. You heard it here, folks.
30.
You're going to look so good with a buzzed head. So for the whole month of September.
Wait, how many miles do you have already?
I think 6 miles in.
Okay. I got none, but let's go.
Okay.
Well, you just said it, you know. If you really want it, you're going to put a little extra time.
Exactly. I want it.
Boom.
And
buzz head.
Buzz head. Hold me to it, everybody.
All I'm going to say is like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I'm not making bets with you ever again.
Okay, I really won't.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Brant, I need to ride back to the other office.
Yeah.
You might want to run.
Dutch Nation, we love you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again.
Love
thanks,
you all.
Guys. Bye, thanks, bye. Mason.
Bye, thank you, guys.
Bye. Welcome back to Southern Oregon, brah. Peace.